Psalms chapter 103. Psalms chapter 103. As I was studying and preparing for the this coming Sunday service, I've been praying what the Lord would have me to do when it comes to a theme of Thanksgiving. And one of my favorite psalms when it deals with Thanksgiving is Psalms 103. Just a wonderful chapter in the Bible. And as studying and looking, there's, I guess, a couple of verses God kept on bringing me back to. And wasn't intending to preach this, but as the Lord laid it upon my heart, I know it's what He had in store. And to be honest with you, I wish I had more time to continue on preparing it. I spent more than adequate enough time in preparation, but I'm hoping to get the idea across tonight. And I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. It might be a little different than some other messages that you're used to me preaching, especially on a Wednesday night. But here in Psalms chapter 103, we're going to read all 22 verses, and we might make little comments here or there. Most of these verses actually speak for themselves. But and then we're going to focus on two verses tonight, which is verses 13 and 14. And then we're going to preach a message, God's Fatherly Pity. God's Fatherly Pity. And you say, that sounds kind of strange. Well, I think that by the end, you'll understand it. And I think that we'll leave this place rejoicing, understanding God's heart for those that fear Him, God's heart for His children. And just a wonderful thought here. And I think we can leave this place being thankful. It's not the Thanksgiving message that we are going to preach on Sunday, obviously. But we might come back to this passage of Scripture a little. So let's see what Psalms 103 says, verse number 1. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Now, isn't that good? It's talking about every part of me. I want my heart to be blessing the Lord. I want my thoughts to be blessing the Lord. I want my conscience to be blessing the Lord. All that's within me, all parts of me, my body, every part of me, be blessing the Lord. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And this next phrase, and forget not all His benefits. So many times we focus on those things that we do not have, but if we will focus on the benefits that we provide as a Christian, we have no other choice but to rejoice. And that's what so often we forget all the good things that we have as a believer, all those promises, all those benefits. If we will focus on those things, we will bless His holy name. Verse number 3 begins to describe some of these benefits. I believe some of these things are future things, and I think this is a little bit of prophetic in this chapter, but I think a lot of these things are applicable for today, and we know how God works in our hearts and minds today through many of these things. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Aren't we thankful that God forgives us our sins? Not just some of them. He forgives us all of them, and we're thankful for that. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I mean, there's just, you know, we have a lot of benefits here. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And boy, that's something to be thankful for. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Now, isn't that good? The Bible's teaching us here that with God we can actually be satisfied. And that's not the case in most people's world today. Most people are not satisfied. And sometimes people have this idea that Christians just got to be, okay, you're a Christian, you just got to kind of make your way through this world, and you just got to be satisfied with the little bit. Now, He's saying He satisfies you with good things. Now, what the world considers good things and what He considers good things are two different things. You might say, well, I'm not eating steak every day. Well, food is just nourishment for the body. But, I mean, the good things that God can provide us, you know, the mercy, the grace that God gives us, Christian fellowship that God gives us, His Word that He gives us, His Holy Spirit that He gives us, these are good things. If we can be satisfied with that, boy, we can be satisfied with good things. You keep on going, and like I said, we could stop and preach a long time on any of these messages or verses. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Isn't that good? He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. That's good. And plenteous in mercy, because we need it. He will not always chide. Neither will He keep His anger forever. He have not dealt with us after our sins. Boy, that's good. Because if we get what we deserve, we'll be spending eternity in a horrible place. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Praise the Lord for that. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Now you take notice that last phrase. Them that fear Him. great is his mercy towards those. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord for that. Verses 13 and 14 are these verses that we're going to focus on tonight. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You got that phrase again, that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. You got that phrase again, them that fear him. And his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Man, what a great chapter. Let's look again in verse 13 and 14 as we look at this idea, God's fatherly pity. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, help us tonight. Lord, I know that you've given us this thought, this verse. Lord, I pray that we embrace this idea of how you love us and how you demonstrate this love. Lord, give us this example of how a good father will show tender compassion and mercy to his children in certain areas, and how you demonstrate the same to us. And Lord, how we accept this and how we should embrace this and look for this. Lord, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. God often compares himself with a father. In the Bible, we're called his children. He tells us our Father which are in heaven. And when we get to this brings into us a parental characteristic that can help us understand the character of God a little bit. Some people think, you know, God is just some type of angry image or being up there, and there is no love there, there is no emotion, there is no nothing. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. And what more tender, loving mercy is when a parent and with their offspring should be. Now, let me clarify something here. This is something referring to a good father. Talking about the father pitying his children. This is not referring to those men that do not care about God, do not understand what biblical. This is the perfect example as a father. This is talking about a good father pitying things, showing tender mercies. This idea, pitieth it here, gives the idea of tender mercies. He's not saying as a man pities a man, or as a rich pities the poor man, or as a strong man pities the feeble, or as the free man pities the captive. He's not mentioning that. He's saying how a father shows tender compassion to his child, which is probably the greatest of all tender compassions, at least. If you take this word, and it's talking about pity, if and you go and you look it up a little bit, and there's a couple other spots where it's used, at least in this terminology in the Bible. Remember when the two women that had children, and this is just a disturbing story, took the baby to King Solomon, and King Solomon said, okay, let's get a sword out and let's cut the baby in half. And the mother says, no, let her take it. And Solomon said, now I know that this is the woman who is the mother. Because she showed tender compassion. She didn't care about her own desires, her own rights. She cared more about the child. Even this word is used when it's talking about the prodigal son's father, when the prodigal son comes back home and he falls at his feet and saying, look, I'm not worthy to be called your son. You know, this is that idea here. The father pities the child. Should that child ever be allowed back in the house? No. Should that child ever be allowed to be called his name? No. He disgraced his father. He ran away. He took the possessions, but we see that the father pities and shows contender, compassionate mercy to him. There's three things here, and there's two that we're going to go over real quickly, the first one and the last one. We're going to focus on the middle one. But the first thing I want you to understand is why we need his pity. you know what? God is the one who's framed us. Look what it says in verse 14. For he knoweth our frame. Who would know better about us than God? I mean, he framed us. He made us. And having himself made man out of dust, he reminds us and he remembers that we are dust. You know what this means? Is that we're not capable of doing everything. We need a God who loves us and a God who will pity us as a father will pity its child. As a father will show tender, compassionate mercies to his child. And some people say, I don't need anybody to pity me. Even the saying is better to be envied than pitied. But here, this is not so. It is far happier to be pitied by God than to be envied of men. And God here is taking this example of that how a father will treat a son is similar to how the Lord treats them that fear him. So we brought this to the next spot. And the second thing is how he pities us. How he pities us. And this is where I spent time at and just thinking about what are different ways that I show compassion and mercy to my sons. Some different areas. And once again, I'm not the perfect father. Most of you guys know that. You go ask my sons. I fall far from being the perfect father or even being a great father or a good father. I'm dust. As it says here in verse number 14, it says, for he knoweth our frame. He remembered that we are dust, that everything that's good in me is because of God. So, but this idea here that I began sitting down and these are the verses I couldn't get away from. And I began to think about things and began to thinking about as children and different things that we show pity or compassion to our children. These are some things I think you can get. And I think you understand. And then also, I hope this will help you understand God's love towards us. First of all, he pities us. How does he pity us? He pities us when we don't understand. He pities us when we don't understand. He shows us mercy and he shows us compassion when we don't understand something. I don't know about you, but when a child comes to you and they don't understand how something works, you can laugh at them. You can scold them. You can say how stupid and how dumb you are. And you know what? I've sat in a classroom before when I've asked a foolish question. And, you know, the kids around you might ridicule you. Or even the teacher might be sarcastic with you. But not a father. Not a good parent. A good parent's not gonna scold you with a reasonable question and looking to learn something and looking to understand something. The good parent is gonna take the time and gonna say, okay, son, this is how you do this, or this is why, this is what the question means, and this is the understanding that's trying to be put across here. And I tell you, I've been felt made to feel stupid before because I didn't know something. But the great thing is, God pities us. He knows that we're dust. He knows that we need understanding. He knows that we need knowledge. And he doesn't look down on us saying, okay, dummy, here's what you're going to have to learn. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He realizes that we're dust and he shows pity upon us and he says, okay, if you don't understand something, don't go playing dumb. Don't go continuing through life like you can't comprehend what's going on. He says, no, come to me and I will demonstrate it to you. I will give you the understanding. I will teach you the things you need to know. He says, if you have struggles here, I don't know about you, but that's something we should rejoice in. Because there are people out there who will just say, hey, no, just don't worry about it, I'll do it. They don't want to take the time to explain, they don't want to take the time to try to help, they don't want to show compassion, they say, nope, just forget it. But God's not that way. God here, he shows pity on us because he knows we lack knowledge. The second thing, how he shows pity is on us. He pities us when we don't have strength. He pities us when we don't have strength. You ever watch a child? Sometimes they can be stubborn and I'm thinking of, I know this could be, we have children that are all different types of ages. I have a 14-year-old that's getting ready to turn 15. And can you believe that? Christian's getting ready to turn 15 years old. That's just crazy. He was little when he came. And I got a 12-year-old who's thinks he's getting ready to turn 50 or he's really smart. But I got a 12-year-old getting ready to turn 13 in February. But it's amazing when you watch little ones and you watch these toddlers sometimes that are one or two or I guess two or three, and they see something and they want something moved, and they go and they, with all their might and all their strength, they try to push something. They're not going to move it one little bit. And, you know, they don't realize that, you know, they can take all their energy. And, you know, sometimes we got to understand God pities us when we don't have the strength to do the things he wants us to do. He has the ability. He has the strength. He has the power. He tells us to come to Him. He tells us to speak to Him. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He's willing to give us the energy and the power and the strength that we need to accomplish what He wants us to accomplish. And I don't know about you, but I think that's wonderful. And I watch my son sometimes, and sometimes there's a need there when it comes to strength. And I'm not the strongest guy in the world, but you know, there's certain things I can help my sons move. There's certain things I can do that accomplish it. They can accomplish. Now, as Christian gets bigger and stronger, and as Andrew gets bigger and stronger, someday they'll probably be able to pick up more than I can. And you probably have children that can do that now. But that's beyond the point that God pities us because He gives us the strength we need. I think that's wonderful. And so I began thinking, you know, what are some things that, how I pity my child? You know, sometimes when my son needs some help when it comes to strength, here, son, let me get that for you. You ever seen somebody try to open up the cans, you know, it's the jars, and they're really, really struggling? And so that what happens is, you know, you got Christian who tries to open, he can't. And you got Andrew who tries to open, and he can't. And I says, okay, let Dad do it. And then when I can't open it, my wife opens it up for all of us. Of course, I loosened it up for my wife. Now, I'm joking. But you know, there are different things that a child cannot do. But it is something that we know that as parents, we try to allow our children to grow and learn and use their strengths and use their talents. But there's many times when, you know, they just can't do that. And they need someone who has the experience and the strength and the ability and the talents to step in and take care of it. I remember the story in The Hiding Place, and it's been a while since I listened to it. And it talked about how the father is teaching the daughter a lesson, and she was asking a question that she was too young to really understand the answer, or didn't need to understand the answer because of how adult theme it was. And she asked Corey, will you carry this suitcase? And the suitcase was way too heavy, and she tried and she tried and she tried. And it was something like this. I don't remember the exact quote, but it left an impression on me. It talked about, he said that the suitcase was too heavy for her to carry. And he said that he would never ask her to carry that because he knew she couldn't. And the knowledge that she was asking for was too heavy of a burden for her to carry. And he would never want to tell her the answer because it was too much for her to carry. And see, these two things can go hand in hand. There are certain things that we don't understand, and this should not cause us to have a lack of faith. We should ask God and realize that God understands that we're dust and understands exactly what we need to know. He told us, we learned in the Sunday school lessons, that He limits our knowledge. He gives us to a certain spot that you're not going any farther with certain things when it comes to certain knowledges. We learned about that in Sunday school. He's creator of brain. He has limited how much we are able to learn as a mankind. But we also understand that He pities us because we don't have the strength to accomplish what He wants us to do. He gives us the strength that we need. Just as when we see a child, maybe a 2-year-old that's trying to push and push and push, we could pick it up with one hand and we can move it. And we just come alongside and we see that he's working so hard and so hard. And say, here, let me help you. And we take it and we move it, and it accomplishes what they want to accomplish. This is what God says. He sees us working so hard, trying to do what he wants us to do. And he says, here, I see your faith. Let me take and do the rest for you. And that's what we need to understand, that he pities us when we don't have the strength that we need. Next thing, he pities us when we don't have the resources. He pities us when we don't have the resources. Yeah, Bible teaches us, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you say, Pastor, I know what you're talking about here. You're talking about giving your kids money. And I'm not saying that all the time, but sometimes our children don't get to have the opportunity to have certain things. And I'm not saying we should give our child everything they ever wanted, because that doesn't teach them anything. But I also know that there are times when a child comes up and says, hey, I'm a little bit short because I want to buy a gift for mom, or I want to be a blessing to somebody else, and they want to use their money wisely towards a certain thing. As a parent, if you have that money, you know what you're willing to do? Here, let me help you. You know, if it's something that is not worthwhile, it's something that's not needed, I'll tell my children, says, that's not something I'm going to help you with. I says, if you really want that, it's your money. You can make your decision. You've given your tithe. You've saved the amount that you're supposed to save your money. It's your money to do what you want with, but I'm not going to use my resources to help you with that. And what God is saying, I believe how he pities us, is that we sometimes don't always have the resources that God wants us to do and use and accomplish. And that's why he says, my God shall supply all your need. And it says need, doesn't say want, according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. And we have a heavenly Father that will provide for us as we step out by faith, as we listen to do the things he accomplishes it to us. If he's put it upon our heart to give more to missions, and we go to God and say, God, I really want to do more. God, tell me and show me what you want me to do. Now, be careful when you say that, because he might stretch you and he might stretch your faith during that time period. But he will provide the resources that you need to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. I don't know about you, but that's something that we should be thankful for. He pities us. He says, I know they don't have it. Let me help them finish what I want them to do. I didn't remember the story about the little boy. He went to his dad and he showed him the quarter. And he says, Dad, I saved my quarter this week from my allowance. I really like to have a new bicycle. And the dad said, okay. He says, well, I mean, you didn't spend any of your money on candy? You didn't spend any money on this or that? He says, nope, I saved it because I want to buy a bicycle. And dad took him down to a bicycle shop. He picked out the bicycle. And the little boy took the bicycle up. They picked the bicycle up, rolled it up front. The little boy proudly put the quarter up on the counter and says, I want to buy this bike. And the man smiled, and dad kind of nodded the head. And the dad said to the little boy, you can wait outside. And the dad ended up writing the check for $99.75 because he needed to buy that bicycle because he was proud of him for saving that money. He thought it was a worthwhile thing. He was teaching him a lesson. And the same thing with God does with our resources. As we are faithful, he will supply our every need, and he pities us that way. We can go to him. We can depend upon him. We can say, God, I don't have the resources, but God, you do. And isn't it the case? I don't know. My father-in-law, my mother-in-law have been a blessing to us before. We one time had a transmission that went out in our car, actually our green van, and it cost, I think the estimate was something like $2,000 to fix it. And we had another vehicle, and what we had done, we wasn't going to tell anybody, and we were just going to drive around the white car till we could save up the money, and we were just going to be happy and satisfied. Well, my in-laws came down for Thanksgiving or something like that, and they're not rich people, but they saw that we were driving a white car, and they asked, and we told them that, and they were kind enough, because we didn't have it, to provide for our need. And it was they were compassionate to us. They saw our need, and they provided and they met that need, and we're thankful for them. And we're thankful for people who have done that for us over the years. And we're thankful when we can be a blessing to other people the exact same way. But we have a heavenly Father that loves us and treats us like a child. Like I said, if there is something that my children really, truly need and they're working hard towards, I take great pleasure and trying to be a help and trying to get them to a certain spot. And they don't get a lot of money. And we teach them about their finances. And there are different things that, hey, I'll help you do this if you work some here or you do this and try to help earn their. You know, I think that God takes great pleasure in helping us and providing for our needs as we use our resources for him. Now, when we go out and try to be selfish and try to do things for ourselves, I think it's just like when my son wants to use his money to go out to Burger King or McDonald's. So, son, you don't get that much money. Don't use it for that. No, that's why I want to use my money. I ain't going to help him with that. But if he's saving his money up to go on a mission trip or to buy something that's worthwhile or to buy something, yeah, I'm going to do my best to help him because I want to show compassion to my children. I want to help them. Now, if I as a not a great father can do that, how much more can our Heavenly Father do? 1,000 times that, because he has the resources. We need to move quickly here. Third thing, he pities us when we are afraid. Once again, as I began thinking and writing down things and just trying to figure out different times that I'm compassionate for the times that my children are maybe struggling about something, one of the things that I do not like for my children to do is to be fearful of something. As a parent, what do we do when our child's fearful? Or what did your parent do for you when they were fearful? They try to calm your fears. Now, there might be parents out there that try to scare their kids and tell them stories about the boogeyman and let them watch horror stories and tries. We're talking about good parents, right? We're talking about parents that are going to show compassion to their kids. And I'm not saying every parent that lets their kid tells boogeyman stories is a bad parent. Don't get me wrong with that. Don't take that out of context. I'm saying that when a child is honestly, truthfully afraid of something, fearful of something, a parent will normally come alongside and try to help calm their fears. And we're thankful for God, the fact that we don't have to be fearful for things because God gives us a promise that he's never going to leave us or forsake us. that we can take our anxieties, we can take our worries, we can take our cares, and we can cast them upon Him. He pities us when we are fearful because He becomes that strong tower for us. The Bible says, Psalm 61:3, "For Thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." Think about the story when they were out and they were crossing across the water and the big storm came along. Jesus was sleeping in the sheep. They came and woke Jesus up and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" He arose, he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful?" He helped calm their fears. And then he challenged them with their faith. You don't have to be afraid. And I'm not saying that you should feed into your child's, if they're afraid of the dark, that you should leave their light on for years. No, that's not it at all. It's helping them work and pitying their child, showing compassion on them, understanding them and teaching them and maturing them and helping them to see and, training a child. And this is what God does with us, and this is what God does with our fears, because so often we're afraid and we're fearful of things, and God is working with us and teaching us as we're reading His Word and learning of Him and hearing preaching done. He pities us and He takes us slowly. Remember one of the things in there, in one of the verses, it talks about how He was slow to anger, and He works with us, and He pities us, and He shows compassion to us, just like we do to our children. We take our time and says, "Look, you don't have anything to be afraid of. Look, this is no monster underneath the bed. There's nobody downstairs. There's nothing." And He works with us, and He shows us, and He teaches us. Those things that we're afraid of are nothing compared to Him and what He can do. Another thing, and he pities us when we ask for forgiveness. He pities us when He asks for forgiveness. I don't know about you, but if my child is heartbroken and it's about something that they've done wrong and they come to you and you can tell that they are remorseful, I don't know any parent that can really look at them if they really truly are sincere and say, "Dad, I'm sorry I did that. I wish I wouldn't have done that. Will you please forgive me?" Most parents are not going to have a problem forgiving them. Does not mean they're going to get off scot-free. Just as God sometimes has to chasten us because of our sins, does not mean they're getting off scot-free, but it does mean that they will forgive them. And I'm thankful that we serve a God, and a lot of these passages of Scripture here talked about what He does with our sins and how He forgets, from the east to the west, and the iniquities. He doesn't treat us according to our iniquities and things like that, deal with us that way. And I'm thankful that we have a God that pities us when we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful for that. I don't know about you, but when I'm considering that if my child would come to me with tears in their eyes or just a remorseful spirit and said, "Dad, I should have never done that. I don't want to ever do that again. And these are the reasons, these are the things I'm going to do to make sure that doesn't happen again." As a parent, I'm just thankful that God spoke into our heart and saying, yes, this is great. We can work with this. I can show compassion this way. Another thing is He pities us when we need defending. And we only got a few more here. He pities us when we need defending. If my child needs someone to be an advocate for them or someone to stand up for them, and I'm not saying that, they can't have their own backbone and they can't deal with their own things, but I'm talking about if they've need someone that they're battling something and they need someone to be a parent for them or someone to help be a protector for them. I think as a parent, that's part of our responsibility too. And I'm not talking about them dealing with their little friends. I'm talking about they're being attacked by something. God tells us in the story of Exodus, it says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace," when the nation of Israel was on the side of the Red Sea. He pities us when we cannot defend ourselves. He will be a one who will defend us, and He will fight for us. And the last but not least on how He pities us when we don't feel well. He pities us when we don't feel well. How much compassion do you have when your child's sick? I don't know about you, but it breaks my heart to watch my child be sick and under the weather. I wish I could be sick for them. I wish that I could do that, and I try. Now, I'm not talking about them trying to get out, doing schoolwork, or not wanting to go to church and all those other things. I'm talking about really, truly sick. You see a child laying in the hospital bed. Christian was dealing with those fainting things this past year, and we took him at one point in time up to CHKD to try to get him to do some tests on him. And he's laying there in the hospital bed with the hospital gown. It's the first time I've ever seen him that way. I know some of you have seen your children that way before, but that gets, you wish that you could be there for them. You could lay there for them. And you wish you could go through it with them. That's God, when we don't feel well, God sees and He understands. And remember, He's the great physician. He pities us. The Bible says, "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in My infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Remember, we have a God who shows tender compassion to us. As a father, as a good father should treat their child, God is 1,000 times better than that to us. And I pray that this speaks to your heart. It spoke to mine. And you go home and think about different things. And I know that list is not exhausted. I know there's a lot of different people that can probably write out better things than that. But those are some things that when I look at my child and how I treat my child, that I'm willing to be compassionate to them when these things are going on. Last thing is who He pities. You see, the first thing was, it talked about why we need Him to pity us, because we're made of dust, because we're flesh, we're weak. Next thing is how He pities us. And the third thing is who He pities. And this is at the end of verse number 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. See, the fear of God is the difference maker. This is what leads us to living a proper life. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's when we're going to be living right and doing right. And once again, this is the prerequisite here. When God wants to show His mercy to us, God wants to show His tender kindness to us, God wants to treat us and wants to pity us as a father would do that to his child. But we have to learn how to fear Him. We have to learn in a respect of Him. We have to learn to be to see Him as a someone who we do not want to disappoint. Not fearful in the fact that we're afraid that He's going to smack us, or fearful in the way that we think He's going to try to harm us on His own doing, just in His pleasure. No, we want to please Him because we love Him. We see Him as the great Heavenly Father, and we respect Him, and we don't want to do anything to disappoint Him. And I'm going to live my life fearing that I could upset my Heavenly Father. I could live my life fearing that I'm going to do something that would displease my Heavenly Father. I'm going to try to do my best to live for Him. I'm going to try to do my best to stay close to Him. I'm going to try to do my best to use my resources for Him and use my strength and do all those things. The fear of the Lord, and we don't have time to teach another message about what the fear of the Lord is, but it's a reverential respect for God in the fact you see who He is and know who you are, and you want to live for Him. You want to be close to Him. That's the type of person that God says, look, when you have a need, I want to help you do it. Now, I might not be a good parent for saying this, but I think I'm right. I'm going to pity the child who obeys and tries to do their best a lot more than I'm going to show compassion to the child that disobeys and is lazy. What do you mean? You're treating your children differently? No, I'm trying to help those that want to help themselves and want to try to make them a better individual. Those that are being disobedient, those that are being lazy, those that are being defiant, you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to chasten them. I'm going to try to help them and try to get them to the same spot I'm trying to get the other person. But the other person is already trying to work towards something. So I'm going to try to, there are things I'm going to have to do with one. But I would love to be a blessing to this one, and just as much as I'd like to be to the blessing to the other one. But because they are not doing the things they should, I can't bless them. I can't give like I like to. I can't help them as much as I want to. You know, I mean, you might call me a weak parent, but I hate punishing my child. I know it's necessary and I do it. I discipline them. But you know, when you have to spank them, or when you have to punish them, and when you have to do different things, there's a portion of you that hates to do that. But you can't show compassion on them because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They need the chastening. They need the correction. They need the disciplining. But when you have a child that is trying to do what's right and that fears doing something wrong and wants to do what's right, what are you going to do with them? You're going to do your best to try to enable them to be able to accomplish everything God wants to with their life. And that's what the difference is, I think, sometimes with us. That's what it says in verse 13, them that fear Him. You know, all those different things, you can make an example, you can make a case saying, oh, God doesn't do this for me, and I don't feel this way about God, and I don't believe that. You can make a case probably about for all those things. But do you fear God? Because if you fear God and you're looking for understanding and say, God, I don't know if this is right or wrong, and you're trying to live a holy life, and you go to God with an open Bible and an open heart, I think God's going to give you which way He wants you to go. I think He's going to teach you, because you lack knowledge. He knows that you're dust. He knows you don't know everything. Just like we don't expect our children to understand algebra in the third grade. They need to be taught and trained and showed. We need to understand that God wants to train and show us, but we have to learn how to fear Him first before He can start teaching us those algebra equations. My son's in Algebra 1 this year, or Algebra 2. I think it's Algebra 2 this year. And I'm thankful that I am not the homeschool teacher. You know, I can look at the answer, and probably 90% of the time I can figure out the answer, and they're like, how'd you do it? I don't know, but that's the answer there. And lots of times, at least I could do that last year. This year I kind of stay away from it because they watch a lot of videos this year to explain certain things. And that's because they need knowledge. God pities us. He loves us. He shows compassion on us. Just as that father accepted that prodigal son back when he didn't deserve it. He did not deserve it. There was something that the father saw, a broken heart and a broken spirit, and saw, that is something I can bless. And God knows that we're dust. He knows we need our everybody needs resources. Everybody needs knowledge. Everybody needs strength. Everybody needs all those things that we looked at. But He says, the person that I can pity, the person that I can show tender compassion to, the person who's going to look at me the right way, who's going to treat me the right way, who's going to fear me like they should. So three things in this message tonight. Number one, understand who you are. We're just dust. Creations of God. We're nothing special. God, what God makes in us is special. We're all made out of dust. Let's not let our pride get ahead of us. Number two, we should rejoice in the fact how God treats us. I have parents who love me, and not perfect, and I'm not perfect as a parent either, and I'm sure that you're not either, but I can even say in my own heart, boy, the way I treat them and show compassion to them at times, and then I realize God sees me that way and loves me even greater than that, man, that does something for me. I don't know if it did anything for you, but it does something for me. And the third thing is, I want to be following that prerequisite. I want to have that type of blessing. I want God to be on board with what I'm doing. But the key is for me to be on board with what He's trying to do through me first. And then He can bless, and then He can provide as He pities me. Lord, I can't do any of this on my own. I need wisdom. I need strength. I need resources. I need all those things. I need not to be afraid. I need to be trusting. I need all those things. And thankfully, He can do a lot better than I can. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.